And I believe the Spirit of God is going to speak to you today. Father, we bless you today. We worship you. Lord, thank you for this great church. Thank you for your supernatural working here in this church, for the Spirit that's so strong and alive and present here. Lord, we just thank you right now for this working that you're working here in this congregation and in their future. Thank you for the Word today, for life in the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you today about supernatural positioning. Supernatural positioning. You know, I don't know whether you've ever been in the right place at the right time before. How many of you ever had that happen in your life where it was just like, man, I'm in the right place at the right time and something great happens? Do you know that God wants that to happen in your life all the time? And that if you'll listen to Him and you'll follow Him and understand how it works, then you can receive amazing supernatural things in your life that you may be missing today, and they may be going right over your head or right by you and you're not even noticing it. Because He wants to position you for the supernatural in your life. Now, some people have some funny ideas about what is really supernatural, but He wants to position you for supernatural blessing. How many of you say amen to that? But He also wants to put you in a place to supernaturally bless others. You could be a blessing to somebody else. You could touch somebody else. You could minister to somebody else. He will put you in a position to defeat your enemies. We do have enemies. And I'm not talking about natural enemies. I'm talking about the devil. Talk about the work of the enemy. He can supernaturally work in your life. Over in 2 Chronicles, there's a story about Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel. And they are surrounded by armies. And they're actually, the armies that they're surrounded by are the only three nations that the Lord spoke to Moses not to kill when they went into the promised land. And now those are the very ones that are coming against the children of Israel. And they are outnumbered, outgunned, outmanned in every way possible. But the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17, that the Lord sent a prophet to speak. Here's what the prophet spoke. Listen, you will not need to fight in this battle. You ready for this? Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Now listen to what it says. He said, there is a battle, but you go out and position yourself where I tell you. Okay? Position yourself. He didn't say fight. He said position yourself. Put yourself in the place that you need to be in order for me to work. Now listen, most of you probably heard this story. This is a great Bible church. If you've been here, you know that the first thing they did was they put the praisers in the front. They put the praisers in the front. But they didn't go fight. They just went out there. Put the praisers in the front. And the next thing you know, God starts working supernaturally. And the enemy was defeated. Now, I don't want to go into this story because I don't want that to be the focus of this. But if you'll read verse 15, it says this. The Lord, the prophet said, listen, all Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid nor be dismayed for this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. But isn't it interesting that even though the battle was God's, they still had to be in the right position. They had to be in the right place. You know what I found out about a lot of Christians? They want God to do all this stuff for them. Don't look at me so holy. But they are not willing to put themselves in a position to receive what God wants in their lives. They want to do what they want to do and have God do what He can do for them. But for them to really receive, or for any person to receive from God, you've got to be in the right position. You've got to be in the right place, doing the right thing at the right time, in order to see God work supernaturally in your life. If you see that, God will work supernaturally. He will deliver. He will work. But you've got to put yourself in the right place. First thing that Jehoshaphat did here was he set out to seek God. Now listen, I've been pastoring for a long time, over 40 years, okay? So I've had a lot of experience with people. I've had a lot of experience with church people. And a lot of church people want you to seek God for them. They don't want to do it. They want you to do it. Lord, just go, you know, just go find out and come tell me what I'm supposed to do. No, you'll never position yourself for what God wants in your life if that's your attitude. Impossible. Will not work. Cannot work that way. It will not work for you. But now here's the thing that you've got to understand about supernatural positioning. Okay? Now listen to me. You got to hear this. It's important. Listen to this. When the world thinks you're out of position, God thinks you're in the perfect place. I don't know whether you've ever had this before, but I'm going to give you a testimony in a minute that'll help you with this. Excuse me, help you with this. Listen, if you hear you're in no position to do that, you just need to smile and say, I might be right in the right place at the right time, ready to do the right thing. Because if the world thinks I'm out of position, then God's thinking I'm in position. Because the Bible says that God takes the foolish things of the world to, I like the King James, it says, to confound the things of the wise. God loves to take people like you and me and with no natural ability to do something and put us in a position to do something that amazes people who thinks we are not in the right place to do what we need to do. He will put you in the right position if you'll listen to Him. You can be where God wants you to be and do what God wants you to do. Years ago, many years ago now, about 25 years ago or so, we were building a television station. We had worked hard to get the construction permit for it and to build this television station. And this particular bank that we did business with back then told us, when you get that construction permit, we're going to loan you the money to build this TV station. We'd be happy to do it. We want you to do it. And we'll do it. Man, I was excited. So when I got that construction permit, guess where I went? I went to the bank because they said they'd loan me the money. So I went to the bank and I knew something was up because the guy that I'd been dealing with, you know, he was going around the table. You know, I'm not sure. Well, you know, this, just everything you can think of, just going around the block with it. And finally he said, well, the president of the bank wants to talk to you. And I said, sure, I'll be glad to talk to him. Well, the president of the bank didn't even live in Shreveport. He lived in New Orleans. So I walked in this boardroom and there were all these people in this boardroom, about six on each side, and a guy down at the other end, and I'm down at this end. And they had this big speaker thing there, and he was talking to me over that speaker. And basically what he said was this: we understand that we told you that we would do this, but this was what he said. We just don't think that a church should own a TV station. So we don't think, now listen to what he said, you're in a position to be able to build that station. Should not have said that. Should not have said that. I tell you, I had my attorney with me, and I slid my chair back, and he grabbed my pants leg, pulling on my pants leg like that. And I just slid, and I stood up, and I said, let me tell you something. I said, you have every right to either give me the money or not give me the money. But you have no right to tell me I can't do it. And I just want you to know right now, with you or without you, I am going to build that television station because I am in the position of having the construction permit and I have a right to build it and I'm going to build it. Well, they didn't loan me the money. But you know what? I built that station. God, listen, to be honest with you, I'm kind of glad they didn't loan me the money. It would have been too easy. But then God started working supernaturally over and over again. Money came from here. Money came from there to build it. We needed, I forgot how much, $125,000 for the transmitter. And we put a deposit down on it. And so we still needed that $125,000 to come in. And man, we didn't have the money. And the transmitter people had told me, if we don't have that money in a week, we're going to take this transmitter and sell it to somebody else. Well, we'd already given them $50,000 or so. And so I'm thinking, you know, I never forget. I remember sitting in my office at the church. And I just threw up my hands and I said, Lord, I give up. I said, you got to provide this money. There's no way. I don't have any money left. I don't have any resources left. We're going to build this. You're going to have to do it. 10 minutes later, the guy that was working for me with the television station said, there is a man, and he mentioned the man's name. He said he wanted me to come by. He had something for the church. And I said, well, go see what it is. Well, not too long after that, he came back holding an envelope in his hand, waving it like this. He said, it's a check in here. So I said, well, give it to me. Now, let me just explain something to you about this man, okay? This man had been a notorious sinner. You know, there are people who are just sinners, and then there are other people that they're notorious. You know, I mean, everybody knows. And he had gotten saved. And he was still real rough around the edges, but he'd gotten saved. And so I opened it up, and guess how much it was for? $125,000. He had sold a motel that he owned, that he rented the rooms by the hour. Not going any further. Okay? That was the tithe off of that motel. Exact amount of money we needed. I would rather have that testimony to tell you today than to tell you, well, the bank loaned us all the money. I'd rather have that testimony. God put us in a position where the world said, you're in no position, but it was the right position to be able to do what we needed to do. It was supernatural what God did. But now listen to me. God can put you in the right place at the right time, but you can't judge it by your circumstances. And you better be careful that you don't look at your circumstances, even where you are in your life right now, and think, man, I tell you, I'm out of position here. I need this. I need this. And God might be saying to you right now, you're right where I want you. You're in the perfect position for me to do something supernatural in your life. You're in the perfect position for something great to happen in your life right where you are. The Apostle Paul was seeking where he wanted to go, searching where he wanted to go, and he wasn't sure where he wanted to go. And he wanted to go here, and the Holy Spirit said no. Wanted to go here, and the Holy Spirit said, nope, can't go there. And he wanted to go somewhere, and the Holy Spirit said, I forbid you to go there. Then he had a dream. And he saw this man in Macedonia crying out, saying, "Come help me." He said, "Must mean we need to go to Macedonia. Must mean God's positioning me." See, a lot of people would think that till he got there. When he got there, you know where he ended up? In jail. Beaten. In jail. Now see, most people, they'd have blown it right there. "Well, Lord, I'm not in the right place. I'm not doing the right thing. I don't know what's happening. Things are not going right." That's not what Paul did. You know the story. Midnight. Lifting his hands. Praising God. Worshiping God. All of a sudden, everything changed. The earth shook. Chains fell off. The gates of the prison opened. The cells opened. And in comes this little guy. I just see him that way. Holding a lantern up by his face, looking in, thinking everybody was going to be gone. And when he held that lantern up and Paul saw him, he said, "You're the man. You're the one I saw in my vision. I'm here to help you." He's in prison. "I'm here to help you." And the man and his whole house got saved that night. Y'all listening to me? See, sometimes you think, "Well, oh man, it's rough. I'm having a rough time." And if you're not careful, you might just miss the very opportunity that God has for you, the position to where you could touch somebody else's life, minister to somebody, or see something happen that you would never see, ever see in a million years, if you judged that situation wrong. Paul wasn't whining and crying about where he was, about the problem. It didn't matter. He was positioning him for one man. And if it took beatings to get it, he took the beatings. If it took being in prison, he took it. Because God was positioning him for that one person. So be careful how you judge your circumstances. Becky and I don't want to get into the testimony today, but Becky and I were separated when we were young for 14 months. Basically, I just decided I didn't want to be married anymore and I left her. And we were separated for 14 months. Had no desire to get back together. But God supernaturally got us back together. Just God. She brought me the divorce papers. I was living in Detroit, Michigan. She brought me the divorce papers. And when she got off the airplane, I fell in love with her. And she fell in love with me. It was amazing. Amazing. All right? But now listen to this. Okay? Just follow me a minute. I'm talking about positioning. We were in Detroit. Didn't need to stay in Detroit when we got back together. So we had an opportunity to move to Dallas. So we moved to Dallas. Things didn't work out in Dallas. It's just, I don't want to go into the details because I don't want to take the time. Things didn't work out in Dallas. So we moved to Houston. Got saved in Houston. Got filled with the Holy Spirit in Houston. Started going to Lakewood Church, a little country church. Not anymore, is it? Started going to Lakewood Church. And then God spoke to us to move to Shreveport. Didn't know I was going to start a church when I went back to Shreveport. I was just being obedient. Now think about this a minute. Okay, listen to me. God doesn't give a rip how many times you have to move. He doesn't care whether you get inconvenienced about what you're doing to put you where you need to be. We think, well, it's got to be perfect and, you know, it's just going to be supernatural. I'm going to be here and then I'm going to be here and everything's going to work out and it's going to be beautiful. We went from Detroit to Dallas to Houston to get to Shreveport. It didn't bother him a bit to reposition us, to put us in a position to be where we needed to be, to do what we needed to do. You cannot judge your circumstances. You cannot judge where you are and think that, well, I'm out of position, when you might be right where God wants you to do something for the kingdom. But you can't get your focus on your comfort zone, your comfort level. I was in Australia, and I may have told this testimony last time I was here. I don't think I did, but I was in Australia preaching. Okay? I'm coming home. I come to the airport in Sydney, and I've been gone for 2 weeks. I'm ready to come home. Get to the counter, and the lady says, your flight has been canceled. Well, let me tell you something. When you've been gone from your family, you're ready to come home, and they tell you that is no fun. And I wasn't a happy camper. Now, I wasn't ugly, but I was pretty firm. I said, because they told me it was going to be 3 days before I could go the next flight. I said, no, I'm going home today. You figure it out. And so the lady came back. She said, well, Mr. Carr, we have a flight you can get on, but you have to go through Hawaii. Now, I know all of you are thinking, ooh, Hawaii. When you've been gone for 2 weeks and you got a layover in Hawaii, it don't mean nothing. All you have is a pretty view. So then I flew to Los Angeles. Okay, so I'm in Los Angeles. It's midnight in Los Angeles. I've been flying already for 20-something hours. I'm tired. I want to be home. And they'd upgraded me to first class, which was nice, but I'm sitting on the airplane getting ready to fly to Dallas to come home. And I look up and I see these rockers getting on the airplane. Long hair, leather jackets, cussing. And guess where they sat? First class. I had to get up. I actually was sitting there reading my Bible. Had to get up. Guy gets in, sits down next to me. And I'm thinking, man, this is going to be a miserable trip. Because they saw my Bible. And so the guy that was sitting next to me, they were giving him a hard time. Well, you know, you're going to be sitting next to that preacher. He's got his Bible out. So we take off, you know, everybody's got drinks and all, you know. And so we take off. And he leaned over to me and he said, you a preacher? And I said, yeah, I pastor a church. He reached under his seat in his bag and he pulled out a hardback Bible about that thick. Almost like one of those table Bibles you see. And said, I've been trying to understand this. Could you help me? So all the way from Los Angeles to Dallas, I went from Genesis to Revelations. Was able to pray for him, lead him to the Lord. Now listen to me. Listen. God didn't give a rip that I had to go around the world to meet that guy. He was positioning me to be able to minister to that guy. Your inconvenience can be someone else's salvation if you'll pay attention. Instead of being all frustrated about where you are or what you're doing or what's going on in your life, maybe you ought to just back off a little bit and say, wait a minute here. Hold on a minute. I might be naturally out of position, but God might be having me here for a purpose and be ready for God to do something in your life. Are y'all still listening? Listen, being positioned for God has nothing to do with your natural circumstances. Joseph had a dream. I mean a big dream. He was going to be the man. They were going to bow down to him. And unfortunately, he should have kept it to himself. Okay? So his brothers sold him. All right? Now listen to this. Joseph had no standing with Pharaoh. If he had gone and knocked on his door, they'd have probably killed him at the door. So Joseph goes to the pit first. Then he goes to Potiphar's house. Then he goes to prison before he gets before the king, before Pharaoh. So, well, that wasn't God's best. Wait a minute. How do you know it wasn't God's best? How do you know that wasn't what God intended? We get some funny ideas sometimes about that. Like, well, God would never make me go through something like that. Well, you mean you go? I'm sure Paul would really appreciate you saying that. Or almost anybody else has ever done anything for the kingdom. Glad you came to church this morning. But listen, all of that didn't matter. Listen to what he told his brothers. I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many. So I could save the lives of many. There are just going to be times in your life where positioning is, you just got to realize God may be putting me somewhere where I could do something. Well, Lord, I hate my job. I can't stand my job. I tell you, the people on my job treat me so bad. They're all a bunch of heathens. You're in the right place. You ever stop to think you might be in the perfect position? You may be the very one to be able to communicate the good news to them, to minister life to them. See, we think about supernatural positioning like, well, God's going to put me in a place where I'm going to be able to do something and I'm going to make $1 million overnight. And you better listen. The Lord wants to use you, but you've got to be ready to be used. You've got to make sure you understand what it means to be used. All right, so listen to me. There are some things that you've got to do to position yourself. All right, now this is what you've got to hear, because this is where most Christians miss it. This is why a lot of Christians don't really see God do stuff in their lives. They want it to happen, but they're not willing to position themselves where God can do something in their lives. You know, complacency is a terrible thing in the body of Christ. It's a terrible thing when you're happy with where you are and what you're doing. I don't know whether you've noticed the news lately or not, but you're becoming very unpopular. Dr. Mars Cirillo, one day I was having dinner with him, and if you don't know who he is, he's a great man of God, been all over the world, amazing, amazing man of God. But I was having lunch with him one day, and we were talking about a bunch of different things. I said, Dr. Cirillo, what do you think is going to take for revival to come to America? Without batting his eye, he said, persecution. Ooh, we don't want that, do we? Okay, moving right along. All right, There are some things, listen to me, that you've got to do to position yourself. If you want to see God do supernatural things in your life, there are things that you have to do. The first thing you've got to do is you've got to put on the whole armor of God. You've got to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Because you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're not challenging flesh and blood. You're challenging principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and wicked spirits in high places. Whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not, if you are a Christian, you have an X on your back, and every devil in hell does not like you. And that means there are going to be a lot of people that don't like you. So you can't fight flesh and blood. You have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might in your life. The second thing is that you have to be in the will of God for your life. You have to make sure that you're walking in God's will for your life. Now look, God doesn't care whether you wear blue or green. He doesn't care whether you wear your hair long or short. But there are things He cares about. He cares about you listening to Him and walking in His will for your life. Not what you want, what He wants. And it ought to be a constant probing on your part. Lord, what do you want for my life? Listen, I've been saved since October the 17th, 1974. I still ask that question. I still want to know, Lord, what do you want for my life? Now, I'm on a pretty good course, you know. But you know what? That doesn't mean God doesn't want to change my course. That doesn't mean that there may be some things the Lord says, look, I need you to be here right now. I need you to do this. I need you to do this. But if you're not careful, you're just going to kind of float along and think, well, the will of the Lord, it's so good to be in the will of God. Well, how do you know you're in the will of God? Now, look, it's not hard to know, but you should know. You ought to prepare yourself for the purposes of God in your life. You can't be in the will of God and not be doing God's purposes and plans for your life. You're doing your will. Lord, what do you want? Second thing, listen. If you're going to be positioned correctly and you're going to be in a place where you can move into position, you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to pray. And you're going to have to pray more than a bedtime prayer. You know what a bedtime prayer is, don't you? Now lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. Okay. You're going to have to pray. Because listen to me. Now listen, this is so important that you hear this. Prayer prepares you for significant seasons of your life. You will pass through a season of life and not even realize the value of it or what God wants in that season if you don't pray. I know in my life I have missed things that God wanted to position me for because of a lack of prayer. I did not pick up the significance of it until I look back on it, normally after a season of prayer. And I realized, God really wanted to do something here, and I missed it. So you've got to be a prayer. You've got to pray. And I don't mean just kind of pray when you come to church or pray while you're going to work. Well, I pray in the car on the way to work. Good. But there's got to be some time when you get in your prayer closet, when you get somewhere where it's just you and Him and you pray. What happens is, it's not what happens during that prayer, it's the fact that it prepares you to identify those significant seasons, those significant moments in your life that otherwise may not even seem important. to position you where you need to be. You position yourself and you prepare for supernatural positioning by sowing. Now, I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about what are you doing with your life? How are you sowing your life? What kind of words are you sowing in your life? Listen, I know this church. And I know what they preach. You ought to know. But if you're not a sower, if you're not sowing the right things, you don't reap. You don't reap. Ecclesiastes 11 says, cast your bread on the waters. Okay? Listen. Cast your bread on the waters. You'll find it after many days. Now listen. That is not what you think it is. Okay? That sounds like you're going to throw a loaf of bread on the water and later on you're going to find it and you're going to get to eat it. Are you kidding me? I did not understand this until I went to Israel. The Jordan was the river of life for the children of Israel. Okay? And there were seasons when the Jordan would flood. And what the children of Israel would do is they would follow the water. And so early, when there was water, they would throw seed out in the river. And then as time went by, they would move down the river where the waters had flooded the plains. And those seeds had gotten out in those plains. And when the water receded, guess what? The seed came up. So when they needed it down the road, that seed had come up and there was a provision for them down the road. You want to see God do something for your future, you better be sowing for it now. You need to be sowing seed for it now. And in many days, you'll find it. What are you doing? You're positioning yourself for supernatural things. Listen, I'm a giver. I will never stop being a giver. Number one, because I serve a giver. But what I have found the most amazing thing in my life since I started giving those many years ago is now I run into blessings all the time. And I know that they are there because I had cast seed on the waters. And so it positioned me for something, a blessing that was not intended, not purposeful on my part, but yet was there because of something that I did in the past. So I won't ever quit sowing. Because I'm always looking and positioning myself for what God wants in the future. Our church is the same way. Our church is a giving church. Our church is a sowing church. We give to missions. We give a lot of money to missions. Millions of dollars to missions. I'm not bragging. Because we didn't give millions when we started. But when you do that, it positions you for God to do something else. Let me give you an example. I had a lawyer call me. And he said, I'm a lawyer for so-and-so's estate. It was an elderly lady in our church that had passed away. And he said, she's left the church something. And I said, well, what? And he said, well, money. I said, well, how much? And he said, well, I need you to come down and sign these papers. So I did. She left the church $750,000 designated for missions. designated for missions. Now, two things. Number one, what touched me, number one was the fact that she had gotten it about missions while she was at our church. She was a longtime member of our church. She had gotten it. She was a giver, and she'd gotten it about missions. And the second thing that blessed me was she trusted me to know that even though she was gone, I would use that money for missions. So, well, that would have happened anyway. No, we've been casting our bread on the water. And we positioned ourselves for that. And I tell you, that's not the only time we've gotten that kind of money. You say, well, you got a lot of rich people in our church. No, it's not true. I could stand here and give you testimony after testimony. And it's not because of some person or some manipulation to get them to give something. It's because we've positioned ourselves to receive that by what we've done in the past. So you have to understand that. All right, here's another one. You have to be led by this Holy Spirit. Even though we don't really like it, listen to this, even though we don't like it, Paul was in prison because of the Holy Spirit. But it was the position he needed to be in to minister to that jailer. I could just go over and over stories and tell you story after story of where the Holy Spirit will lead you to be in a position to be able to do something that you're not going to ever get unless you do. And it may be as simple as going to Walmart and being led to speak to somebody. You feel that tug of the Holy Spirit to stop and speak to somebody. And you don't have any clue that you're the very person they need to speak into their life at that moment to bring an encouraging word to them to do something that's going to affect their life. Because, listen, you want God to do something big and you can't go to Walmart and obey Him, you're in trouble. You have to learn to obey the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit... Let Him guide you. He will position you for the supernatural in your life to affect other people's lives. Something else you've got to do is you've got to be obedient. I know this sounds crazy, and you probably don't do this in Texas, but in Louisiana, people they just don't obey God. They just won't sometimes. I've had people tell me, well, I know the Lord told me to do that, but what do you mean? Well, I was waiting for this to happen or waiting for that to happen. Then I was going to obey Him. Well, you will never be in position to see what God has for your life and to see the supernatural in your life until you obey Him right where you are. The father of our faith, Abraham, would not have received the blessing that he received until he obeyed God and left his house and went where God said he was supposed to go. And the Bible says in Hebrews, he went not knowing. He didn't even know where he was going. But he was obeying. So you have to understand, sometimes there's just got to be obedience. Last one. I'm finished. Listen to this. It's very important that you hear this. Okay? If you're going to position yourself for what God has in your life, you have to be faithful right where you are. Faithful. And I really would like to just take an hour and talk about this because it's so important. Faithfulness will lead you to your destiny. It will lead you to your destiny. If you as a man or woman of God will just be faithful, faithful to your church, faithful to your spouse, faithful to your family, faithful to those around you, faithful to you on your job. If you will just be faithful, it will lead you to your destiny. You don't even have to worry about, Lord, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? Just be faithful right where you are. Unfaithfulness will retard what God wants in your life every time. There was a man in our church a number of years ago, and he worked for this company, this little small company. It was a machine shop. And he'd worked there for really almost his whole life. And that was his job, his life. And he worked there. One day the owner called them, I think there were like 7 or 8 employees there, called them all together and said, I'm retiring and I'm closing the shop. Well, this man was devastated. He'd given his whole life to serve and to be faithful at that job. I remember him coming and talking to me about it. I said, Pastor, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, at that time, I think he was in his late 50s. He said, I mean, I'm, you know, older and I've been here. I said, have you been faithful at that job? Yeah, I've been faithful there. I said, well, God's going to do something. He went back the next day to work and his boss came in. He said, you know, he said, I was thinking about that when I told everybody I was going to retire. And I got to thinking about you and how long you've been working for me and how faithful you'd been to me. I'm going to just give you the business. He went from just working there to owning the business. You know why? Because faithfulness led him to his destiny. You want to be supernaturally positioned with God? Be faithful. I know this sounds so simple, okay? Just be faithful at church. Be faithful with the things of God. Don't take it lightly. I've watched people in our church who have been faithful and watched God bless their socks off. And I've watched other people who are unfaithful or go to this church, that church, this church, and all around and never are faithful. And then they come once in a while and they're not faithful. And they're not blessed. We have a couple in our church. We actually talked about this last night at dinner, but we have a couple in our church, and they're especially the wife is one of the most faithful people I've ever seen. I told Randy and Linda last night. I said she's probably more in church more than we are, you know, because we travel and stuff. But the most amazing thing I've watched in their lives was how God has supernaturally blessed them financially. When they first came to our church, she didn't work. She didn't work. He was a truck driver. Nothing wrong with being a truck driver. You know, but he was a truck driver. An in-town truck driver. But God hooked him up with a man in our church, and he became a salesman for this man. This man sold heavy equipment. God started blessing him and blessing him, and they were faithful tithers, faithful givers, faithful to church. And I look back at their lives, and all I can say is faithfulness has blessed you. Faithfulness puts you in a position for God's blessings in your life. Because you became a faithful person. Faithfulness will lead you to your destiny. Well, I tell you, I've been working at the same job. Nobody appreciates me. Be faithful. Be there when the doors are open. Stay there. When you're there, work. Don't just take a paycheck and you'll see God do something supernatural. He'll lead you. It may be to another job. It may be to something different. But He'll lead you supernaturally just because of that. There is a supernatural positioning of God, but it doesn't come without a price. And you've got to be willing to pay that price. Or you can just live like everybody else. I don't want to live like everybody else. Man, I want God to use me. I want Him to use me in unusual ways, different ways. I want to be in a position for that to happen. And if you can make up your mind that you're going to do that, you'd be surprised how God can use you. He'll use you on the interstate. Huh? A number of years ago, Becky and I were driving to Dallas on I-20. This guy pulls up beside me. You know how you glance over, and I looked over. He's crying. And then he looked at me, and he pointed like that, getting me to pull over. I ain't pulling over for somebody on the interstate. Well, he thought I was going to pull over, so he slowed down and pulled over. Well, I kept going. So he caught back up to me. And did it again. And the Lord spoke to me, and I told Becky, I'm supposed to stop and minister to this guy. And I stopped and talked to this guy. So we pulled over. We pulled off at the next exit. No, we pulled over first. Isn't that right? Pulled over first. And this is what he said. He said, my wife left me, and I've been struggling, and I don't know what to do, and didn't know what to do, and I'm riding, and I passed you, and I looked over, and I heard this voice say, that man can help you. So we pulled over to the exit, prayed for him, ministered to him. He was a Christian, but he was just struggling. Prayed for him, ministered to him. He's still a member of our church today. I see him at church. Today was from Shreveport, but we were on, I don't even remember where we were between here and Dallas. Wouldn't you like for something like that to happen to you? You can. God can use you. He'll position you if you'll just get out of your little world and realize what God can use you to do and how He can use you. You'd be amazed at what He can do in your life and for you. Supernatural positioning. You're not here to take up space till Jesus comes back. He wants to use you. He wants to work through you. He wants to minister to you and through you and for you. But you've got to be in the right place. You've got to be in the right place for that to happen.